Yeah, I was muted.
Okay, I was trying to figure out what was wrong on my end.
Yeah, no, it was nothing on your end. No, I decided to go ahead and start the stream with a slideshow roll, since you were running a little late. No problem or anything, because I mean you're like a minute late. So, yeah. I think we're still waiting on Mike. So, before we actually get started, because we'll wait till Mike gets on. What how's this week been? Are you there, Alex?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure something out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wait, are we recording?
Yes, we are live. Hello.
Hey, folks, sorting out some technical difficulties.
That's fine. This is Random Geek Culture in West Virginia. I am your host, Luke Hersey. With me tonight is Alex McLean. He's working on things. And Mike will be joining us here in a minute.
Hi.
Tonight we're going to be talking about Mike, are you there? Hey, there's Michael.
Mr. Mike.
Hey.
Hi.
So, we're talking about Death Stranding tonight. Before we get into that, I was just asking Alex, but I'll ask you too, Mike. What have you been into this week?
Just painted my porch today.
Painting your porch?
Yeah, so that was exhausting.
I can imagine. I mean, I painted my driveway. Well, I mean, I sealed my driveway, and that was exhausting here not too long ago. My goodness.
I haven't done it in 6 years, so I'm way out of shape for that.
Oh, yeah. So, and me, I am actually playing through Borderlands 3. Man, it was always on under my impression that Borderlands 2 was the better game, but I am really liking Borderlands 3. Maybe I just don't remember 2 that well, but maybe not. I don't know. Alex, what do you got going on? What have you been doing this week?
I'm really excited about Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2. And
Yeah.
yeah, it came out yesterday. It is just as good as the last one.
Is it
It's
better? I hear it's better.
is pros and cons. I would say it's a harder game, which I think is pretty cool. I feel like the bosses aren't quite as inspired as the last one, and those were kind of the coolest part of the first one, but it is still the same tight gameplay, new characters, new features. Real happy with it.
Awesome. So I wanted to start tonight before I get into the meat and potatoes with a joke. So Bethesda tweeted out the other day that they were currently investigating connection issues. Turns out that nobody's playing their game and they'd want to find out why.
Oh no.
I mean
Boo.
we all play 76, so it's kind of a joke that hits close to all of us, but still there is a few things. I mean, I've played the Wastelanders expansion a little bit. I think Mike has. And Alex, have you played any of the new Wastelanders expansion?
Very little bit.
Yeah.
I'm
And
done.
I mean, it's okay, but it's not great. I mean, it's better, but it's better than nothing. So I don't know. I don't know.
Oh.
So anyway.
Oh.
Anyway. Okay, so to this episode. Death Stranding, which comes out the 14th next week. Tuesday? Tuesday? Monday? Monday, Tuesday? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not looking at a calendar. But yeah. I just got it for PlayStation 4, played it through completion, and my God, is that a good game? It is a fantastic game. It is, and I was telling this to Alex here the other day, quite possibly one of the greatest sci-fi stories I have ever experienced. It is absolutely amazing.
That's high praise, because I know Luke is into, like, really real sci-fi, and it's high praise, man.
And it's not just movies or TV shows or video games, but also books. What is his name? Orson Scott Card, one of my favorite sci-fi novelists. He wrote the Ender's Game series. Not just the Ender's Game book, but the whole series that goes along with that. Which, by the way, if you're looking for a sci-fi series to check out, that is a good one. But this is a fantastic sci-fi piece. And a lot of people have, you know, said, you know, or have, you know, criticized it for, you know, being a game. You know, that it's... it's not totally like a game, and truthfully, I don't know if it really should be considered a game. It's more like an art piece. I mean, if we're talking about in terms of like movies in sci-fi, I would look at this as like Space Odyssey. Yes, it's a movie, but it's a little bit different than a movie. Another one that comes to mind as far as space epic that really kind of, you know, is on a different level is Interstellar. It's exploring concepts higher than just your run of the mill. I mean, I love Star Wars, but Star Wars is surface level. It's not deep. And not by a long shot.
You know, so, I'm reminded whenever you say whether it should be considered a game or a narrative or what, I'm reminded of a quote by, which I'm paraphrasing, by Chris Sawyer, the designer of the Roller Coaster Tycoon games and the SimCity games.
Yeah.
Is it, there's four different kinds of games. There's sport games, in which there's a score that somebody has to beat. There are toys, games that are essentially a toy. There's no objective to it. There's no end. You just
like
play
a sandbox game.
Like a sandbox game. There are narrative gameplay, and then like just straight narrative. That would include audio dramas, or what are those?
Like Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain was just a narrative.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Firewatch one? Also.
Oh, Firewatch.
I haven't played that. That's on my list. That's on my list. I actually wrote up some stuff on this. You know, kind of getting my headspace in the right area. As far as this, and also said that, you know, this isn't totally boring. So I'd like to, you know, read over that with you guys if you'd like to hear it.
Nah, I'd rather not.
All right. Well, then what are we going to do for another 20 minutes?
I don't know, man. tell us about, what's the name? Norman Reedus and his amazing fetus?
Norman Reedus and his amazing fetus.
I'm sure you've never heard that one before.
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a, you know, full review. So I'm just going to go ahead and start. So Death Stranding. There was a lot of discontent for the release of this game. So let's just get that out of the way. Let's address the elephant in the room. Yes, the split of Hideo Kojima and Konami were ultimately before the release of this game. In fact, it was amidst the release of Metal Gear Solid 5. Reason I mention Metal Gear Solid 5 is because it's totally relevant to the discontent with this game. Now, Metal Gear Solid 5, a lot of people that didn't play it on release but are playing it now are celebrating it for how great of a game it is. And that's, I think, because people are focused more on the game rather than the controversy. And I mean, I just finished Metal Gear Solid 5, and I mean, I've told a bunch of people about it, and they're playing it now, and they love it. That's all they're playing now. So I think that, you know, we should start looking at our things at face value. But going on past that, now,
you know, that's never going to happen, right?
Right.
Movies right. are reviewed before they come out. The hate train starts for every video game before it comes out.
Yeah, and it's... But
The Last of Us Part 2, I mean, that's not a series that I'm into.
Oh, man.
But the hate train was ready for that game weeks before it came out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a massive leak, so a lot of people knew kind of what was going on with the story. So
go on.
Now, I understand that many people... Part of the other side of the controversy was a lot of people were expecting his game to be more tactical, you know, for his first game for his studio, because, you know, Metal Gear Solid was his most popular franchise, that it was his baby. But I'm going to bring up another director that really kind of liken or harkens to that same kind of company split of Hideo Kojima and Konami, and that's Tim Schafer and LucasArts. The first game that came out from Tim Schafer when he started Double Fine Studios was Psychonauts. And I think that was a perfect game for his first game with his new studio, because it showed us what his studio was about, what his studio can bring to the table that wasn't with LucasArts and would have never been introduced. Now, Grim Fandango was right there on that cusp, but Psychonauts just brought us something that was totally amazing, and it's a cult classic, and I feel like that's what this game is going to be considered for a long time, as a cult classic game. Now, you know, go ahead.
You know, I gotta say, you mentioned Hideo Kojima and his split from Konami. I feel like at this point, Kojima is a well-beloved name in the gaming industry. When you see his name attached to something, that gets anybody excited. That was the first thing that I heard about Death Stranding, is that Kojima's on this, he's making a new game. Just that. Just that. And you get things like that with movie directors. Whenever...
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, whenever Christopher Nolan's making something, get hyped for whatever it is because he's making it. Or James Cameron, or... Yeah, you know. Or different actors. Kojima is one of those. There are a few of them in gaming... I mean,
when I hear Tim Schafer, coming to or you know, directing a new game, I'm like, holy crap, I got to check this out. And that was exactly what it was for Brutal Legend. A lot of people didn't like that game, but I loved it. And it's a Tim Schafer game. I mean, yes, Jack Black is in it, you know, and some people don't like Jack Black, but you know, after playing that game, I do. Hi, Hazel. okay. Now, reviewers had mislabeled this from the very beginning as a walking simulator. And really, just to put it within that box is kind of like an oversimplification, but to be more accurate, it's a hiking simulator. And even that is an oversimplification. Now, to set up the game world, anybody that's watched Stranger Things season 1 or any of the seasons, but at least season 1 or even the movie Coco. Sorry. I had something in my teeth. It just came out. You are familiar with, from those two media pieces, with the in-between or the upside down or the space between this world and the afterlife. In the world of Death Stranding, the lines between the physical world and the in-between world has been blurred. And so you have the dead stranded within this physical world, the Death Stranding. That's an oversimplification, but, you know, without, you know, getting into spoilers, which, by the way, I'm not getting into spoilers with this. But that's trying to make it as simple as I possibly can. If you know about those two pieces of media, I mean, it's not even, it goes farther than just those two pieces of media, but still. So in this world where the two lines are blurred, you have the vast majority of, and when I say vast majority, I mean like 99% of the survivors of this world going into bunkers. These bunkers are completely cut off from one another, so you can't easily get between those. Now, there are deliverers or porters that deliver packages from one place to the other, braving the harsh elements, harsh terrain, and nightmarish creatures. Now, in this game, you are Norman Reedus, or, you know, Sam is who he is in the game. And by the way, holy crap, Norman Reedus was fantastic in acting this. He was absolutely phenomenal. He really brought it to the table. And my first exposure to him was Boondock Saints, but and then of course farther than that, Walking Dead. But man, he just really brought a new level to, you know, my respect for him. And it was already pretty high. So anyway, so now the world in this game, you play as Sam. So through circumstances, he's tasked to set up a network that allows these bunkers to be more connected, not only to be able to voice chat and video chat or whatever, but also there are, well, you know what a 3D printer is. It goes farther than that, where they're able to send matter from one place, kind of like a transporter from, you know, Star Trek, but send matter that's organic and non-chemical from one bunker to the other. It still requires porters to deliver organic things, but simple things it can send from one to the other by utilizing the Death Stranding, which is by sending matter from the physical world to the in-between and then back into another location. It's interesting what they're doing here. They've set up this world and they're totally utilizing it. In fact, I brought up Ender's Game or Orson Scott Card. He had set up a universe within his first book and totally utilized it throughout the rest of the series, delving farther into the sci-fi world that he created. And that's what they're doing here. Is they are utilizing that sci-fi world. Am I losing you guys? Are you guys still?
I just have a personal beef with Orson Scott Card.
Go ahead.
That's just me. Well, he was at the West Virginia Book Festival last year.
Really?
And there was a huge picket because he was there and boycotts. And because he was there, I couldn't sell any books.
So, why was there a boycott for Orson Scott Card?
Oh, he's very anti-homosexual.
Oh, well, he's Mormon. So, I mean, that makes sense. He's a very devout Mormon. So that kind of makes
books in Charleston are hipsters. So, yeah, the cool kids,
Charleston and Huntington.
Yeah, that whole area down in there. And so,
a lot of artists, you find out later on, they're bad people. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
Well, it's unfortunate when you sign up, you know, to have a booth, and then later they're like, oh, by the way, here's this controversial guy who's going to be there. Good luck selling books.
Yeah, they kind of messed you up, you know?
Yeah. Right. I guess my beef should be with the book festival, actually, but eh.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I read H.P. Lovecraft, and he is also not a good person.
He won't be at the festival, though.
Well, no.
He's dead now, though, right?
Oh, H.P. Yes, Lovecraft? Yeah,
I thought so. So he was. He was.
but
right.
Anyway,
getting back. So, now we were talking about how porters have to deliver their packages back and forth. So, the hiking part of this is we've already said that, you know, everybody's kind of gone into hiding. So, and has been for years. Our world, not maintained, quickly goes natural again. And that's kind of where this is. This is harsh terrain. This is, you know, elements, you know, kicked up to 10. This is in fact, actually, there's a weird element with the rain. Not going to get into it. Really cool, though. First time when I was revealed that in the game, I was like, what? So, So, anyway. It is kind of cool. And it's another element that you're using within the game world. So, you're crossing. You have to cross America to reconnect everybody in this network. You have to go over mountains and, you know, through rivers. By the way, rivers, you know, you have to, you know, you either have to lay down a ladder and try to cross over that river, or throw down a rope and try to cross that way, and hold on to the rope. But you cross snow-covered plains, which, by the way, as far as, like, snow-covered stuff, so in one part of the game, you go all the way around this mountain, and then you have to go back on the other side on the next mission, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just try to cross this mountain. So I went over it, and it took forever, because it was covered with snow. And, you know, trudging through anything that's not flat terrain in this game is really difficult. So it was cool, though, because after I went over the mountain a couple times, the game had read that I had gone over the mountain a couple times, and my game is connected with other people's games. And so other porters, I was crossing over the mountain. Not only was there kind of a path through the snow, making it easier for me, but I got halfway over and there was two NPC porters going over my trail. And I was like, that's really cool. And another thing, I mean, when you build a bridge, other players can use your bridge, or you can be going to an area you've never been to. And there's a bridge there. Let's use this. Or why did they put a bridge here? There's the really cool little elements that they've utilized so well in this game. Now, to bring this better into the game world. Alex, Mike, have you ever been hiking through the woods?
Yes.
Yeah, actually took a walk just today.
Okay. So, have you ever been presented with a big-ass rock right in your path?
Kind of. I was trying to pick blackberries and raspberries, and you know those always grow in the worst places, right?
Right, right. So, what did you do when you were presented with that big-ass rock? Did you walk around it, or did you try to climb over it?
I climbed down it, yeah.
I threw a bomb.
Okay. Oh, yeah. God, I didn't. I don't have the bombs yet.
Oh. Sometimes a hammer works.
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
Yeah.
Oh. So, anyway, if you try to climb up the rock, what about when you got to the other side? What if there was a sharp decline on the other side of that rock? Did you bring a rope?
Yeah.
Did you bring a rope to get yourself down? In the game, you can expect that maybe you might come up to a rock and that you might have to go up it. So you bring a ladder with you. And then you bring a rope with you. Those two things can make your game easier. However, those two things can also add weight to you. Have you ever tried to carry a rope and a ladder through the woods? It's not easy. Even if you compacted it well and everything like that. It's not easy. Those are the kind of things that you have to think about through the game. What if I come across the river? I have to throw down a rope so then I can hold on to it while I cross this river. Because maybe you have no choice but to cross that river. There's no other point A to point B thing. You can try to go up and downstream and see if there's a better place to cross. But that might not be the case in the game. You might luck out and find a rope already put down by another porter or a bridge built or something like that. But I mean, those are things that make the game more interesting. And these are the things that you have to think of when you're traversing. Now, later on, you do get a motorcycle. However, am I boring you guys?
Yeah, I'm awake. I'm awake.
You do get a motorcycle and a truck later. But again, I was saying that this is rocky terrain, so you can't use it everywhere. Now, later, you can actually build highways, and other people can help you build highways, other players. But that costs materials. Materials that you might have to build a ladder with later, or 10 to get over a mountain, or go down to a mountain.
So there are resource management elements to this.
Yeah, there is resource management elements to this. You don't want to use everything all in one shot because you might not, you might make it harder for you later on. Now, let me give you an actual instance for the game, a little scenario. So in the game, there is a bunker that you have to deliver to way down into a canyon. Took a bunch of ropes. It was hard getting down there because there's, you know, the ropes aren't long enough to get down into a canyon. So I had to like throw down a rope where I saw that there was a place that I could throw down another rope halfway down. Took me about 5 or 6 ropes, and then I was finally down to the bottom of the canyon. And then when you get into the bunker, then you're presented with Conan O'Brien.
I heard about that.
Yeah, he's pretty funny in the game. And, you know, these bunkers, they can give you special materials to make your game easier, which is another element of the game. The more work you put in, the easier things can be. He specifically gives you an otter hat, you know, a hat shaped like an otter, and it specifically allows you to not get easily swept away when crossing a river. Now, don't worry that you're taking his only otter hat because he has an otter one.
That's a Conan joke.
Yeah, he actually says it in there. And I'm like, oh, this is... It was real refreshing in this dystopian society. You got this one guy that, you know, has a, you know, good outlook. He's pretty funny. Now, for me, talking about this game, me personally, as you guys may or may not know, and I know you guys know, but I mean viewers, I've had brain surgery. And as a result, I can't hear on the one side. So I have very little inner ear. So no balance. So hiking, like actual hard hiking, like I can still walk on trails and stuff like that. But actual hard hiking, I can't do anymore. And when I grew up in Maine, actually. And when I grew up in Maine, we had like acres of woods behind us. So when I was growing up, I was either playing Nintendo or hiking in those woods. And I mean, it was something that I really liked doing. And this allowed me to reconnect with something that I truly liked doing. Yeah, I know it's not as hard as hiking, but it's not as easy as just pushing forward on the control stick. It's a lot more difficult than that because it's something like, if I step wrong on this rock that I see coming up, I could stumble and drop everything. Or this slope that I'm walking along, it's leaning to the left, so I gotta grab onto my right backpack harness to steady my balance. It's those kind of things that it makes it more difficult, but it's all within the game world. It doesn't seem like it's an element that's just thrown in. It's something that would actually feel weird if it wasn't in it. You know what I mean? It'd be like a game where you're in a war zone and you're not fighting at all. Well, actually, there is a game out there like that, but
yeah, you know, it's stuff like that. I've not played the game, but it's stuff like that that tells me that is the gameplay. And I think that's really cool, really unique, that the walking is the gameplay. But it's not like Skyrim where you hold forward and you go. There's so much more to it than that.
Right. And then, of course, we were talking about, you know, taking along things and added weight. Rudy Reyes, if you remember when he was on here, he made a really good point, and it was actually something that I used, like, when I was thinking about stuff in the game, and that was, you know, I asked him, you know, how heavy he would make his backpack. And he said, well, you got to really think about all the stuff that you bring with you. You got to make use of every bit of weight. And his saying was, pounds are ounces and ounces are pounds. And all those ounces add up. And they, and just like that with the game, it's just, now, it does get easier later because you end up getting a power exoskeleton that lets you carry more. But then there's different exoskeletons you get later on in the game. There's one that's for speed and one that's, you know, the one for, you know, going over mountain terrain. So you have to kind of decide which one you want for delivering to the different areas. And you don't want to take all of those exoskeletons with you because those weigh a bunch too. So now there is one more thing that I wanted to say. And that was that the story, I don't want to spoil the story, but the story has such a heavy element and such a multiple twists that I actually liken it to some of our some of the best games out there, like what did I have? Spec Ops The Line, or BioShock Infinite, or even and you guys might even argue with me, Final Fantasy VII.
I won't argue with you on that.
Well, let's play it first.
And that's that. Yeah, that's what I'm. That's why we're here. It's not just for you guys, for our viewers too. Everybody needs to try this game and actually give it an effort because it's absolutely amazing.
When it goes back on sale again.
Hmm.
When it goes back on sale again.
Yeah. Well, I know Alex, he's got a rock and roll PC, so I would suggest playing it on there because, man, I got the PS4 Slim, and I can't even imagine that game on 4K because the game world is absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. And not just the environments, but all the little things to go along with it. Yeah, just a fantastic game.
Other people I've talked to, my buddy Jeremiah was crazy into it for a while, that everybody I've talked to who's played the game sounds like Luke. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll get around to it.
I'm just waiting for that sale again.
Yeah, right.
I missed the bad day last time.
Well, yeah. to tell you the truth, I mean, it's hitting PC, so I mean, I would not be surprised if it doesn't hit like a sale on the 14th. So I'd be looking for it.
The one thing I will say about PlayStation exclusives, of which this is about to not be, they always make good use of the audio on the controller itself.
Right. That's one of the things that is actually good on Death Stranding. You can make it so that all of the noises, all of the coos from your
baby,
you can actually make it come out of the controller, which would be about that. Where
you're
holding it. Yeah, right about there. So it's just a little small element that's just really cool. It's one of those things that PlayStation does well.
And Horizon Zero Dawn was the same way, which is also coming to PC. So I'd be curious to see how the PC compensates for those lost gems on the PlayStation.
Did you hear that day one of the pre-sale of Horizon, it was the most sold item on Steam that day?
I did hear that.
And I'm hoping that Sony looks at that and goes,
Well, I mean, they're making a second one, so they know.
Yeah, maybe we should. I mean, I do not doubt that will come to PlayStation first, because sure, a lot of people are going to be buying a 5 for that game. But if they come out with it 6 months to a year after the PlayStation release on PC, I think that Sony would be dumb not to do that.
I mean, that's going to sell me on a PlayStation 5 eventually.
Right.
I mean, I may wait a year, but I will get a PlayStation 5 for that game. I guess it's going to wait a year before it comes out anyways. So,
yeah.
Excited.
So, any questions about the game, guys? Also to our viewers?
I did read the synopsis originally, so I don't want to say anything either because I kind of know how it goes.
Do you know about the twist at the end?
For the most part. You know, the thing I've learned, like reading Wikipedia, like synopsis stuff, is reading it and actually experiencing it are two completely different things. Like I had done that originally with Breaking Bad, and like actually watching Breaking Bad is a different experience when reading what happened.
You know? I actually am I'm about halfway through now of Breaking Bad, and man, that has been a fantastic ride. It's been really cool, really, really cool series.
It gets good about halfway through, and then it never stops being good after that.
I've enjoyed the whole thing. I just, not too long ago, a couple episodes back, I watched the Fly episode.
Okay. Ryan Johnson.
There are two kinds of people in this world, people who love the Fly episode and people who hate the Fly episode.
Well, that's also true for Ryan Johnson.
I kind of liked the Fly episode. In specific reason why is the dialogue. The dialogue was just phenomenal in that episode. Nobody has asked any questions on the chat.
Death Stranding. Go ahead. So I'm told that you throw a jar of your own pee. Why is that? In the game and maybe in real life.
So, trying not to spoilers. Spoil. Okay, you know, Sam is specifically his blood and urine and whatever else. It is proven very effective against the things ghosts? From the other side, the beasts, yeah. Mm-hmm. The beasts. That can cause them to stay away. You can kill them with your blood, which is really cool because that's another cool element that they do. So they make it so that the bullets you can get a gun later that fires bullets that's laced with your blood, so then you can kill the monsters. But the only thing is, it's actively sucking out your blood. So if you shoot too many times, then you'll be like almost dead. Yes.
Kojima makes weird games. I mean, that's everybody knows that.
That's true.
I will say, though, that he was finally able to put a whale in one of his games, and it wasn't weird.
All right, then.
Because you remember how in 5, how they did that at the beginning? And it was like, what is going on? What is happening here? With this one, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I understand. So. All right. I think everybody knows that I'm saying that this is a fantastic game and they should play it.
5,000 stars.
PlayStation, PC now. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually comes to Xbox here on the Xbox Series X or the new one that comes this winter. I really wouldn't be surprised if it comes to Xbox as well. So everybody should play it. It's great. It's a great game. So, all right. I'm going to go ahead and turn off the stream now. This has been Luke with RGCWV Random Geek Culture in West Virginia. This has been the review of Death Stranding. With me tonight was Mike Mallow.
I'm here.
And Alex McLean. Welcome to the end.
Bye.
See you, folks.
All right, I think that turned it off. That should be... Yep, okay, that finished. So, anyway. Now that the stream is off and we're just doing audio, was there anything you guys wanted to talk about tonight?
Are we going to geek outs?
Yeah, I mean actual geek outs.
Yeah.
We kind of did it earlier. But I mean,
did we? Did I miss it?
We did a quick thing. Okay. But
I guess I missed it.
So
did you do Alex. Hamilton?
Oh my gosh! Oh
yeah,
my!
Yeah, I should have mentioned Hamilton.
Yeah, that's my geek out.
Fantastic! Like every bit of that was just. So well done.
No,
so well scripted. So well directed.
Is that your first exposure to that?
To Hamilton?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mine too. I actually hadn't heard any of the soundtrack either.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No, we had the soundtrack. I think we saw the performance when they first came out. It was on, I want to say, the Grammy Awards, where it won for Best Musical. And Tracy got the soundtrack, and we just consumed that thing constantly. And we got to see it on Broadway. By that point, the original cast was gone. But the difference being, we were on the back row for this. I mean, we only paid, I think we paid face value for the tickets, which is impressive to start with. Now Tracy, she had seen it in Chicago, and I think what we paid for her Chicago ticket was more than what we paid for the entire trip to New York.
Wow. Yeah, I figured I'd probably never see it, you know.
Yeah, but seeing it in the back row and seeing it like up close with facial expressions is like two wildly different things. And I recommend both, because seeing it far back gives you the overview of everything that's happening at one time. The choreography and the way set pieces come and go is that's the thing I'm most impressed about. Particularly with and watch this again, like on Disney Plus, the Reynolds pamphlet, when they're throwing all the papers everywhere at the very end of that number, the second that number ends, those papers are gone. And you're just kind of like, how did they get rid of those so quick? Go back and watch again. You can see somebody like grab them.
Yeah. In
like one shot, but other than that, but just how they can get, they got like 30 seconds to get them down and get them back up again.
That was really cool about the way they change set pieces very rapidly in a way that the viewer, your eyes just aren't drawn to it.
A lot of it is the choreography. It comes in with the choreography and goes out with the choreography. It's a part of the number, basically.
Yeah, a lot of them bring the chair they're going to set in. You know, yeah. The actors come on stage and they bring set pieces with them. And that's got to be choreography expertise.
And the rotating stage is another thing that's really impressive to see.
I know. Overhead. I had never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, it's something.
It gave like a movie effect.
It really did.
Like, you know, whenever a movie like rotates around a shot for dramatic purposes, it looked like that on the stage.
Yeah, but it was.
Are we boring you, Luke?
No. My eyes are a little dry. I went swimming today. At the neighbor's pool. So
I'm fighting allergies too. So I've been rubbing my eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
God. Oh, West Virginia. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful, wild, allergy-filled West Virginia. No wonder meth is so big here.
That's true. Allegra D.
Oh, man. So, Alex, do you have a as good of a geek out as Hamilton? Because I don't think I can come up with one.
No, I'm just going to say mine's Hamilton too. Like, you know, it's worth talking about.
I mean,
seriously lives up to the hype.
Like, I put out an Instagram post that said, if you haven't watched Hamilton and you have access to Disney Plus, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good up close as it was far away, and as good on the soundtrack. Everything was good about it.
And that's the thing, like the only thing that I can really compare this to as far as like, you know, how well they've done this and how great it is, how great a play is live, but also how great this specific recording was. It really kind of reminded me of, okay, you've been to a hockey game. Alex, I know you've been to a hockey game. Going to a hockey game live is great. It's fun. It's exciting.
I have been the one.
Watching it on TV, I didn't know. Watching it on TV, is also really good. They really have that refined. And I think that if they use the same process, they can bring other plays to this. And I mean, like, you go to a football game, unless you're right up close, you might as well just watch it from home. Baseball game too. Hockey game is, I think, is very different. A hockey game, when you're there, even if you're up in the nosebleeds, it's still exciting all the way back there.
I will agree with that.
But it's also exciting when you're watching it on TV. I mean, I get excitement out of it. I grew up with hockey, so.
Well, I will say it was way more exciting in person than I ever thought it was on TV, and that's the only other professional sport I've been to is baseball, and I thought it was boring both places. So yes, I think you're right.
I've been to baseball games before, and you know,
I mean, other than the tradition part, I don't enjoy watching a baseball game, both on TV or on live. I mean, hey, there's a guy hitting a ball.
It's baseball is one of those games where the object of the game is to play the least amount of it possible. It's kind of like golf. Look at his cat down there. But really, a perfect game of baseball, a no-hitter, means that one team does not hit the ball. The ball does not move. I don't know.
That's exciting.
That's exciting.
It's exciting.
When nobody hits the ball. Yeah, hockey is the best sport. They took the rules of soccer and they made them better.
They took the rules of soccer and made them better by getting rid of the ball.
Yeah, and putting knives on their feet and sticks on their hands.
You make the ball go 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, and they let you fight.
I will say the particular game that I went to, it was a high-scoring hockey game. It was like 5-4.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it sounds like
it was something.
Sounds like one that I should have read about.
It was in D.C., so it would have been the Capitals. And I want to say it was the Devils, the year that they were on their hot streak.
Oh, the Devils could... I hate the Devils worse than I hate the Flyers. And I hate the Flyers. The Flyers just play dirty. They're a dirty team. They're dirty, dirty hockey players. Detroit, Boston, the Leafs. That's a hockey team. That's a hockey team.
I don't hate any team that much.
So this has been...
You're not a fan.
I gotta
this
say,
has been random hockey culture.
I believe it was the 2018 season when the Caps won the Stanley Cup. What year was that? It was a great year.
Too long ago.
And yet that maybe
I want to say it was 16.
Yeah, I think it was 16. That season definitely. I mean, you know, go Pens. But that season made a Caps fan out of me. I watched their games too.
The thing that I like, but also think is the problem with Pens is they're too reliant on Crosby.
Yes, big time. Also, but you don't want to go to Pittsburgh and say I'm a Caps fan. Don't do that. Not around
Crosby, though. He is a lot like Peyton Manning, where he is a player that builds up the whole team and doesn't just take all the glory. He builds up his team. He helps the team get better. And that's one of the things that I like about him, but he's not going to be there forever. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like after he leaves, I don't know what's going to happen to the Pens. Anyway.
This is our time for tangents like this. Anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean,
you're definitely right. Crosby is easily one of the top players in the league. And
yeah.
He makes, without him, it's not that he's a one man machine. It's absolutely not that it's a one-man team, but his influence on the rest of the team keeps them all, you know, where they
right.
are.
Right. He holds that team together. He's a really good commanding force for that team. But anyway, I digress. So I've talked to Alex a couple times about this, and Mike, I've been wanting to get your opinion on this. I don't know. Sure. I feel like Final Fantasy VII Remake, I forgot about the story way too quickly. I was just so excited about it for the longest time, and now it's like, I don't know. I feel like I need to go back and replay it.
I started to. And then I was like, maybe.
I don't know. I think that's just you, man.
Are you playing it in hard mode, or are you playing it on normal?
No, I'm on one of the Final Fantasy VII Remake groups, and they talk about like their experiences with hard mode, and like a lot of people are like, yeah, it's easy. But like just the things I've heard that they have to go through, I'm just like, I don't think I want to be a part of that.
I found it to be refreshingly hard. I was kind of intimidated by it at first to hear the stories. Yeah, it's like crazy hard. Yes, you do have to develop a real strategy for specific fights, or even just, you know, rando fights. You got to actually have a strategy this time and not just use the ability that you think looks cool at the moment. Yeah. I like that. I think that's... It gives something... There's more than just a replay about it.
I think what I need to do is just resign myself to just getting through hard mode all the way through, and then worrying about getting those like hard to get achievements on a third playthrough. Because I think I just need to be devoted on getting through hard mode and then go back to normal mode and just get those achievements.
But yeah, yeah. I haven't forgot about the game.
Yeah, me neither. And the main reason I want to replay is because I want to do Wall Market again, because I didn't get this best dress. In fact, same. I think I might have got her worst one. And so I really want to try to get the best one for her.
Actually, but also, that's where Hell House is. You have to, like, if to get those materia to level 3, you would have to grind specifically for that. And it would be really, really hard to get that on your first playthrough. That's intentionally a second playthrough thing.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So I got a new cell phone case. Can I show you guys my new cell phone case?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to see it.
So it's clear. It's clear on the back.
All right.
So I did this. I put the vinyls on. So it's actually on the inside of the case, since it's a clear backing.
Now, wait a minute. I just realized that if this is the audio only portion.
Yeah.
Luke has the RGC WV logo on the back of his phone.
Yeah, I love it.
Mine is an Apple, because I'm a snob.
I have an Apple too.
Do you?
Mine is nothing. Mine doesn't say anything on the back.
What now?
I thought you're a Samsung person.
I mean, I have no Motorola, and oh. I still have my Motorola, but I've converted that into a gamepad.
Okay. Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's really cool. Now, along in that same package, I also got. Let me get it. I also got this. What is this, you say, Luke? This snaps onto this.
Oh, it's a game controller something.
So then I can do... Oh, hold on. I don't know. So then I can do this.
Oh, it's a controller that holds your phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, wow. it's the regular PlayStation controller, but yeah, it's a clip, so then I can put my phone on it, so then I can keep playing Borderlands or whatever on the couch with remote play.
So there's like a, it's a thing that snaps over your existing controller and holds your phone in it.
Right. Right. And it's pretty cool. I tried it out earlier. I was like, I was at the kitchen table. I was at the kitchen table and I was playing Borderlands 3 and I was like, this is pretty cool. This is really cool. Are you still there?
Yeah, I never commented on, you sent me the images of those Overwatch figurines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry I never got back to you on those. Luke sent me, he's got these Overwatch figurines, and they're pretty neat looking.
the one that I just got, because for the original characters, I only need a few more, but I just got D.Va.
Cool.
This wasn't within the series of all the other ones, but this one's got her mech suit.
Yeah.
So
it's D.Va and the mech suit.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. It's really cool. I took a picture of it, so I'll just have to send that. I'll send that on the Insta.
Funny we do all this visual stuff on the audio portion.
Yeah, I sometimes like to do that on the visual portion, but you know, tonight was just kind of, it was a focus episode.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah, you're really good at that. Oh man. Anyway. I don't think that there's anything else that we need.
You ever see this miniature that I painted? Did you ever see my Shark Man?
I did not see your Shark Man.
Shark Man. Man Shark.
Mike, are you not doing the drive-in this weekend?
No, we did it last weekend.
Oh, but you're not doing it this weekend?
No, we're going to do it every other week. And I think they're going to skip until further notice because West Virginia has got the highest rate of increase right now. And actually, while if you saw me being distracted, it's because I got breaking news that East Hardy High School's graduation was supposed to be tomorrow. And I got a thing that said it's being postponed because they have two possible positives among the students graduating.
God, that's freaking terrible, man.
Yeah, so I'm on news duty this weekend, so I was doing some updates on the social media.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm on call this weekend. Well, tomorrow night I am.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just got in from Walmart. Oh, that's a story in and of itself. But I would say about like 50-50 on masks.
I don't understand that. Yeah. Like, I was in Kroger yesterday and I saw like a whole family, no masks. And I'm pretty sure they didn't put it in their pocket. And I'm like, I told Cassie, I was like, is it wrong of me to want to just walk over to them and just start yelling? I mean, like, what is wrong with me? I understand when it was a choice before, but it's not now.
Well, the thing is, there's no enforcement behind the mandate.
Yeah. He probably shouldn't have actually said that when he announced it. Like, it's mandatory. We're not going to enforce it.
Yeah.
Did he say that?
No. Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, he didn't do what Trump did the first time, where he was like, hey, the CDC recommends that we wear masks. I personally will not be wearing one.
No, he put one on.
No.
Jim Justice did.
Jim Justice, you know, he I like your post though, right after. I was like, because he had the mask over his eyes and he
put it on so weird.
Kinda.
I can't wait to see all the memes I can come up with on this.
I definitely appreciate the measure. I'm glad that he put out this mandate. I'm definitely seeing more masks in public after the mandate.
Me too.
So,
not me.
Yeah.
You live in Franklin, though.
I've been in Morphett a lot too, and rural West Virginia. So I can tell you, it hasn't changed much. I went and got the paint at the hardware store today, and I'm pretty sure I was the only one wearing a mask the whole time I was there. So 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say it was probably 90%.
That ain't bad.
90% at the Sam's and the Kroger's.
Well, we don't have you down here to shout at people.
That's what you need. Yeah. You need me back in Franklin. You need me to yell at people.
Yeah, I don't want to be around you though. I don't like it when you do that.
What, when I yell?
Yeah.
I don't like me either. That's the thing.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
That's true.
I don't even like me when I'm angry.
I don't like him when he's angry.
God, yeah.
So this has been the audio portion of random hockey culture in West Virginia.
Let's go, Pens!
Welcome to the Pens.
Let's go, Pens! Let's go! Okay, never mind.
We got to put a cap on this one.
I think we need to put a cap on it. All right. This has been Random Geek Culture in West Virginia. I am your host, Luke Hersey. With me tonight was Mike Mallow and Alex McLean. This has been the audio portion of the podcast. Hope you enjoyed this program.
Is that your announcer voice, Luke?
I was actually trying to emulate the ending of the Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Audible books. Audible hopes that you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible. That was
pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm great at voices, but there's a few that I can actually do, you know?
That's a start.
Yeah, that's a start. So.
See you, folks.
Bye.
Bye, guys.